Hello and welcome back to the Drinking Liberally podcast, the show that combines good alcohol with some friendly political banter. I'm Kevin Wilson. I'm joined by my co-host, Jeff Fenner.
How's everyone doing?
Jeff and I are back. We are well rested after a long holiday weekend. Jeff, you do anything fun for the 4th of July?
Yeah, I was actually hanging out with our producer here, Yags, down at Jersey City Waterfront. We went down, saw the fireworks, had some friends in town.
Oh, that's cute.
And yeah, it was a nice little date.
Aw, that's nice. I mean, I think that's where I met you last year, actually, was at the fireworks show in Jersey City.
We were talking about that. That was actually our anniversary.
Aw.
The random meetup, because you randomly ran into Yags,
mm-hmm.
and then he randomly ran into me, and we had some good seats, so you were like, fuck it, let's sit in good seats.
Yeah. So, if I recall correctly, last year, Akon and Snoop Dogg played, right?
This year we had Pitbull and Akon again.
Really? Yeah. Akon just loves Jersey City, I guess.
Yeah, we weren't close to that. Nor did we stay for it. And there was probably about, what did you say, half as many people?
Yeah, about that.
Because I think they had said like over 100,000 last year with the carnival, with the fair, everything that happened. This year it was a little easier to get close.
But they didn't have those screens up that showed the concert, which was interesting.
Because
the
audio was so bad last year. What did you do, Kevin?
I was actually in Chicago with my wife. First time heading out to that area. It was fantastic. We got to take the show on the road. We hit up a lot of breweries. My wife actually put together her own personal brewery tour.
Nice.
She looked at signing us up for one of the formal ones.
Dope.
And then realized they're insanely expensive.
Yeah.
So she put together like a six brewery long tour, wrote up facts in a brochure for me.
Holy shit.
It was awesome. Yeah, she did a great job.
What a wife.
Yeah.
Thanks for ditching us, guys. That was great.
So it was a shit ton of fun. Let me watch the fireworks on a lake cruise.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, so out on Lake Michigan.
Lake Michigan. Lake Michigan's beautiful.
It is. First time ever seeing it.
It's like
it
an ocean.
It's huge.
Yeah.
You don't see the other side.
Yeah. Water's clear. It's beautiful.
Before we just move on from America's birthday, I want this friendly reminder to listeners that if you're one of those people out there that are super upset about immigrants crossing the border and then think that should be a crime, I want you to remember that those of you that were setting off fireworks in the New York, New Jersey area that were anything larger than a sparkler is a crime of the fourth degree.
It's a felony, right?
It's a felony, yeah. Which is actually a more serious charge than you get for crossing the border illegally. So let's not play the holier-than-thou game.
Do you think any of those people were thrown in any cages or camps over the weekend? No.
No. And that might sound very snarky, but I felt the need to say it.
It was, and sometimes we need to be.
So that was a very long intro, but whatever. We're going to leave it in. Jeff, you ready to dive into the news and brews?
Can't wait.
All right. Let's start with our drink discussion, as always. This is going to be back-to-back weeks with personal connections to these beers. So I had the Lake Placid Brewing Company last week. This week, it's a beer from essentially my hometown, and that's the Hoptical Illusion from the Blue Point Brewery over in Patchogue, New York. So that's over there on Long Island from the town next to where I grew up. It was a popular spot for us to go out drinking on a weekend. This beer, Hoptical Illusion, is pretty hoppy, as you might imagine by the name. It has, by Blue Point's admission here, 5 different styles of hops added to it.
This I can confirm.
You taste it?
It's very strong, yeah.
Yeah, so it has a bunch of different styles and different ways the hops were added to this beer as it was brewed. It lends to a pretty hoppy taste and some pretty unique flavors. It is an IPA, so it is pretty citrusy. The aroma is very strong. Huge citrus scent coming off of this.
Very, very strong.
Yeah. First thing Jeff said when he picked it up.
Yeah, I mean, it's quite a ways away from your mouth, and you smell this one before you taste it, mm-hmm. That's for sure.
But it's not a bad thing. I think it adds to the taste of it. You know, this beer on the label, it calls itself an East Coast IPA, and I'm not one to really argue with what the brewery thinks their own beer is, but I feel like it's kind of in the middle ground between an East and West Coast IPA. It's not too bitter. It's not too malty. It really hits that sweet spot. And maybe that's just my own personal taste, but that's kind of how it tastes to me. It's pretty balanced.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's obviously a little stronger than, as our listeners know, that I normally enjoy. But this one doesn't have a really dry finish at the end, so I do enjoy it. Again, just trying to get used to it with how strong it is at the onset. But a good beer. I would drink this again for sure.
Really like this. It's a 7% alcohol by volume. Again, that's the Hoptical Illusion at a Blue Point Brewing Company.
It tastes like 7%.
Yeah, oh, certainly. So Blue Point's interesting story, just to go off on a little tangent here. So they started as a craft brewery back in 98, and actually in 2014 they were bought out by Anheuser-Busch for $24 million. So
nice.
Good for those guys.
Good for them.
So my friends and I used to go to their old tasting room. They've since opened a brand new one just a few months ago, actually. That's fantastic. So if you're out that way, check it out. But their old tasting room was just a small little warehouse with a single tiny bar in it. And what was great about it is that they gave you unlimited tastings for free.
Oh, wow.
You could literally just stay there for hours going down the line of different beers and drinking. It was a great way to start your night. Go pregame at the brewery. And then they had the Patchogue Main Street's walking distance. You just go down there to the other bars.
That's a good setup.
Great, yeah. If you're ever on Long Island, you make your way out east, about 60 miles east of Manhattan, check out the Blue Point Brewing Company. Great beers out of them.
Yeah, very, very good stuff.
So again, this has been a pretty long intro. And if you could tell, I'm almost stalling because our topics today are pretty brutal.
Really, really. We basically have two and they're super heavy.
And number one is going to be the story about hedge fund billionaire and known pedophile Jeffrey Epstein. And you might be asking how this relates to politics. We'll get to that, trust me. But just some background for those of you that have been fortunate enough not to be
in the know on this.
Immersed in this. Yeah. And following this story because everything about this man is horrific. So Jeffrey Epstein was arrested this past Saturday in New York City on charges of child sex trafficking. Now, at the start of this, I mentioned that he's a known pedophile, so this might not be surprising. In the early 2000s, a federal investigation found that this guy sexually abused almost three dozen girls from the ages of 13 to 16. The Miami Herald, who has done some amazing reporting about this and amazing. Really at the end of last year helped keep this story alive and now just broke the latest in it. They did some extensive investigative work and found that he's molested at about 80 girls, and that's just the ones they could find. And there's all these stories about how he's been running essentially, you know, sex clubs at his mansions.
Yeah, so that's personally 80. Him. We're not talking about his cohorts,
his friends, network.
And it seems like a lot more is going to come crashing down out of this.
It's so disgusting. And so in 2008, when he was initially charged by the U.S. attorney in Miami, a man named Alex Acosta.
Kevin, what is he doing now?
Oh, we'll get there, Jeff.
Okay.
He's an important figure right now.
I've heard his name remember floating that around name. A little bit. Okay. Yeah.
Listeners, remember the name Alex Acosta, because we're going to be getting to him in just a sec. Alex Acosta was a U.S. attorney in Miami. He cut what we call a sweetheart deal. You might see that term floating around the news a lot, wondering, like, what the hell is a sweetheart deal? Essentially, it's a agreement that's reached privately and unofficially. So it's a secret deal that a prosecutor will cut with a criminal. So we have no idea exactly what deal this was that he cut, but we know that Alex Acosta let Epstein plead guilty to just two charges of soliciting prostitution. So it ignored the fact that, you know, these were children and that this guy's a pedophile. He did have to register as a sex offender, but holy shit, this guy got off easy. He had to spend 13 months in jail. And when we say in jail, I mean,
not
he spent
close.
A couple hours a day in a jail.
Yep.
Because when you're a billionaire, you apparently can get leave. And he was able to leave his jail cell up to 12 hours a day to head to an office to, quote, work.
And his jail cell he was stuck in for the other hours. The other 12 hours was in a private section of the prison. This guy was not in Gen Pop.
Definitely not.
By any means.
Everything about this is just shady as hell to begin with. And I said at the top of this segment that we'd get to the political part of it. So let's talk about that, why this is relevant on our particular podcast. The man, Alex Acosta, we mentioned before, told you remember his name, is now Trump's Secretary of Labor.
Weird.
Only hires the best people, right? The Secretary of Labor is an interesting spot for a man like Alex Acosta with ties to this Jeffrey Epstein case, because the Secretary of Labor actually oversees human trafficking laws in the country.
Interesting.
The very kind of thing that, you know, Jeffrey Epstein was just arrested on breaking.
So we have somebody that's known to be super lenient in certain cases on human trafficking,
mm-hmm.
which is what this is.
Yeah.
If you've seen a lot of it, they were promised modeling jobs, plucked out very young from high school, even younger in some cases. People telling them that, you know, we have this for you, meet these powerful people. So somebody you probably wouldn't want overseeing this is somebody that would give a deal to those.
So as you might imagine, a man with some conflicts like that has actually been weakening those very laws. And he's been doing it through the Labor Department. And the main way they've done it is by stopping visa applications for victims of human trafficking. They stop processing these altogether. So these are a special kind of visa called T visas. They're typically given to victims of human trafficking who are willing to drop a dime and, you know, cooperate with law enforcement, turn on these assholes that are selling sex slaves,
right,
and cooperate and bring these kind of networks down. So the Trump administration has stopped processing visas for these type of victims. So their official reasoning is that they think it curbs the flow of undocumented immigrants into the country.
Wow.
Yeah.
What a reach.
It's a stretch. Oh God, it's so gross. But this is putting people's lives at risk right now.
Big time.
It's putting the victims of human trafficking's lives at risk by weakening these laws.
And I don't want to go, you know, full conspiracy theory here, but all of this seems
but
like...
you're going to, I guess.
It looks like a pretty nice circle. They're trying to stop the people to protect the people that might be doing this to children. Because these immigrants that they're saying now that they're trying to stop are going to basically flip on their pedophiles, but on their handlers.
Yeah, that's essentially what they're doing.
Which might protect some people in power.
It might. Acosta gave a press conference today, and man, this guy, he really hasn't apologized for this deal at all, which, again, is just fishy to me.
He can't, though.
And I get
it's almost like admitting guilt.
Even during his confirmation hearing, when he was nominated for the role of Secretary of Labor, he had to, you know, go before Congress. This is back in 2017. Acosta called the outcome of that Epstein deal from 2008 a, quote, point of pride.
I'm sure he did, because it got him his job.
He thought it was a great, great thing that he did, just giving this guy 13 months instead of life in prison for being the despicable human being that he is. So
it's one thing quickly for billionaires to get out of certain types of crimes. Because of their money, their lawyers, how much they can hem up the judicial system, because they can afford every appeal in the book, they can afford a whole law team. A line needs to be drawn at child messing with children, period.
Yeah.
Like, it shouldn't matter how much money you have if you're doing something like this. Sex trafficking of any age is terrible. You start talking about 13, 14 years old. I mean, it's just...
it's so disgusting. It's the one thing, like, I'm not a huge fan of capital punishment. I think it's better to just put people in jail cells for the rest of their lives, but pretty okay with it for pedophiles.
Children and women is usually where you don't want to be put in prison for. And this is before you get to the Trump part of this. Let's
Trump's involved.
I think you got some information. Let's have a quick drink though, because this sucks.
I don't really want cheers to this though.
No, it's not a cheers thing. It's just a drink. Okay.
Yeah. Let's keep that political through line going.
Here we go.
Because our very own president also has a lot of affiliations with Epstein. And I just want to lead us off with this fun quote from Donald Trump from back in 2002. Trump says, quote, I've known Jeff for 15 years. Terrific guy. He's a lot of fun to be with. It is even said that he likes beautiful women as much as I do. And many of them are on the younger side. End quote. So this is a well-known thing. People in Epstein's circles knew.
That quote's been around for a while.
Yeah. That's from 2002. Yeah. But I mean, 17 years ago.
It's circulated for a while.
So people know that this guy's been a monster for a long time and no one did anything about it. Which to me means you have some blame in this case for maybe not standing up and turning this fucking guy in.
Maybe more.
Not only that, it goes deeper. So there's allegations that women were lured into sex trafficking from Trump's Mar-a-Lago resort. One woman claims she was recruited there as a prostitute when she was 15 years old. We'll link to that story in the footnotes.
Ugh, powerful men and younger women.
Everything about this is just so fucking gross.
There's a new Trump quote on this, by
the way. You got one?
Yeah, he weirdly now comes out and says about Epstein, well, I knew him like everybody in Palm Beach knew him. I mean, people in Palm Beach knew him. He was a fixture in Palm Beach. However, I had a falling out with him a long time ago.
Oh, is that the story now?
He has not spoken to him, according to Trump, in 15 years. He was never a fan. I was not yet. It was a long time ago. I'd say maybe 15 years. I wasn't a fan of his. I can tell you that. I was not a fan of his.
Not a fan of him because I feel like he should be trying to buddy up with him now, because there's a lot of shady stories about Trump's dealings and meetings at Epstein's mansions. Right before the election, if you'll remember, there was that story of a then 13-year-old girl who said that Donald Trump raped her. And that rape took place in one of Epstein's mansions, according to the victim.
And another girl just came out with that same story.
And people were corroborating it. That case was dropped because the Jane Doe did not want to come forward because of the death threat she was getting.
Yeah, I wonder why.
Yeah, and it was right before the 2016 election, so it was even more probably scary for her to come forward. But her story was corroborated by a woman that's named Tiffany in that particular lawsuit, who worked for Epstein. And Tiffany had a role in selecting girls and bringing them over.
She was a recruiter.
Yeah, exactly. Yep. And she is saying this is also true. That's our fucking president, ladies and gentlemen.
You know, he made that quote I just read for the exact reason that this is how he's getting away with everything. He just says what he wants to say. Fox News will run with that quote, so will the other. And then everybody's like, see, he didn't like that guy. Yeah, he was around him. He knew he was a bad guy. It was 15 years ago. However, Trump does feel very badly for somebody.
Does he?
From this.
Would it be the victims?
Yeah, I'm going to give you a choice. You think it's the victims, himself, Epstein, or Alex Acosta?
I'm going to go D, Alex Acosta.
He does. He feels very badly for Labor Secretary Alex Acosta.
Of course he does. Alex Acosta needs to resign yesterday. End of story.
We've had a lot of talk here about impeachments and what the House is doing. I've been behind a lot of Pelosi things here. She came out on this and basically said the House can't do anything about this. It's up to Trump to get rid of him. I'm at this point now where everybody's implicit in this all the way down. Like, we've gone back and forth on this for the last 15 episodes about impeachment and all the things we should be doing. Is it politically good? Is it not? This is something, if the House has any power at all, they have to get Acosta out of that position by any means necessary. And just saying it's on Trump is, I thought it was disgusting from Pelosi, and I'm just not a fan of it.
Yeah, she's had some problematic reactions to this. I wish they were taking a stronger stance and really doing everything in their power. And it's the grossest thing. So let's talk about, we've clearly been going over our reaction. Let's talk about how the public's been reacting to this and how our favorite news channel's reacting.
Can I state one more thing before we go to that?
Yeah.
Just in connection with Epstein and Trump. Epstein has a quote talking about how Trump owned modeling agencies.
Yes.
And how he got into the modeling agency ownership because of Trump.
And wanted to model his agency after Trump's.
Yeah. It just sounds like keywords for sex trafficking organization. Again, allegedly on Trump. We don't know anything there. We know it's not allegedly with Epstein. So there's a lot of ties that bind here.
There's certainly a lot of conspiracy theories that Epstein's got blackmail on a number of high profile people, and that's what some of those CDs and everything and drives that he had and safes were all about. And I tie into how he's able to kind of skirt the law for as long as he has.
Back to what you're saying though, Kevin, how's the public internet reaction to this?
I want to give huge props to Miami Herald reporter Julie K. Brown, who's been working on this story tirelessly and broke the latest update on it, but also has been fighting to keep this in the national consciousness for a while. In particular, at the end of 2018, there is the big breaking stories about Epstein as well.
That's something to toast to, her.
Yeah, she's fantastic.
Julie K. Brown, this is for you.
That's what investigative journalism is all about.
This is why the press is not the enemy of the people, folks.
She has flat out said that while she was doing this investigation, she saw a lot of big names on message pads. And there were voicemails from these big names to Epstein saying, hey, I'm at such and such hotel.
Ooh, so he's kind of working like a pimp.
Yeah. And she flat out says, she's like, well, why do you do that? Why do you leave a message like that? She's saying, unless you're expecting him, in this case, Epstein, to send you a girl to visit you at your hotel.
I mean, it's unless they want him to come meet for dinner, I guess.
She definitely suspects that if Epstein is going to name names, that it could be potentially catastrophic for a lot of high-profile people.
Yeah, I mean, he got the sweetheart deal. SDNY is not giving that to him here.
Mm-mm.
He will rot in a prison cell. If he doesn't, it's all broken.
I agree. Yeah, so that ties into the, you know, just the reactions that we're seeing to this news. I found a strange number of people just defending Epstein and essentially just saying that this is another, like, leftist hit job. And then the common refrain I've been hearing, even when people aren't defending Epstein, they're saying, yes, this is terrible. A lot of them are saying online, and again, the extreme people are the ones that are online.
That you see, yeah. It gets retweeted and all that.
They're saying, hey, well, you know what? The left isn't going to be happy when it's one of their guys that gets caught up in this scandal. And to that, I want to say, if a Democrat is somehow caught up in this, burn him or her to the ground as well.
Yeah, put them both in the same prison cell. Let them be bunkmates. Like, get rid of them too.
Republican, Libertarian, Democrat, I don't give a shit what your ideology is. If you're involved in a child sex ring, then you deserve to go down with this whole fucking network. Burn it to the ground. I don't care who they are.
Everyone.
I don't care if it's anyone that I currently admire or respect, because that respect would be gone the second that they're implicated in this.
And guess what? You're right. We won't be happy. If I found out somebody I voted for and put my energy and efforts behind was involved in this, I'm not going to be happy about it. I'm not going to defend them, though.
Right.
I'm not going to start making excuses for them. No, put them in prison. We're not messing with children or sex trafficking, for that matter. I don't want even the older people. Like, that's nuts.
We even had a Fox News anchor that flat out asked, you know, why did this take 11 years to come out? What a dumb fucking question.
Well, they were spinning it to be that this is just another bring down of Trump, and they related it to the Mueller investigation not doing it. So we're on to the next thing. Like, just
give it up, Fox News.
Just call yourself Trump News this point.
Yeah. Like, I wrote down this tweet from Jess Dweck. She's a writer for TV shows I follow on Twitter. Her handle is at the Dweck, which is D-W-E-C-K, just to give her the credit she deserves. Really funny follow. But she wrote this sarcastic tweet that I think really sums up a lot of the responses I've been seeing that have been the most unnerving in my mind. It goes like this. She says, "Hello, it is I, a normal man highly invested in trying to make a distinction between teen girls and children for no particular reason." End of tweet.
That's the thing I've seen the most that's been same. Gross.
I'm like, well, these weren't children. They were like 14. I'm like, they're children.
It ties back it's to
pedophilia regardless.
The guy in Alabama.
Roy Moore.
And there was a lot of their high school students. Remember that when the defenders had come out?
They were only 16.
But they wouldn't say the age. It was high school students. A lot. There's like definitely some language being put out there, probably a lot by bots trying to make this into teen girls, which then hoping that you go to 18 in your mind and say legal, right? Mm-hmm. That you don't go to 13, which is the number we're actually talking about. Saw a lot of those tweets with people with 75 numbers after their name.
Sure.
And it's unnerving, man. It's bad.
Yes, this is a story we're going to be following pretty closely over the next few weeks, I'm sure. I'm glad they got this fucking guy. Finally,
bring down the whole network.
Yeah,
burn it.
Take it all down.
Take them all.
So on that note, I need some alcohol to cleanse my mind and palate of all of that.
That's a terrible story.
And before we move on to the next story, let's lighten the mood a little bit. Let's do some trivia.
I'm in.
You ready?
Yeah.
So this week, I'm going to be asking Jeff a series of questions about bills our Congress has introduced.
Fantastic.
I'm not expecting you to know the details of any of these in particular, but I was inspired by the Patriot Act, of all things.
Okay.
Because, as some of our listeners might not know, the Patriot Act is actually an acronym.
Really?
Yeah, it's actually the USA Patriot Act of 2001. And what that stands for is the Uniting and Strengthening America by Providing Appropriate Tools Required to Intercept and Obstruct Terrorism Act.
Thank God that wasn't the trivia question.
It is a mouthful. I was just doing some research and stumbled upon that again and just laughed my ass off at how ridiculous of an acronym that is and figured there's got to be a ton more, right? Oh, and there are. So all of our questions this week are going to surround bills that have acronym titles to them. And it's going to be a simple two-choice question.
50% chance.
I'm going to tell you the acronym, and I'm going to have you guess between those two choices on what that bill has to do with.
Let's
what
roll
the topic
it.
Is.
Let's roll it.
You ready?
Yep.
If you get this wrong, you drink. You get it right, I drink.
Let's go.
Number one, the Pro-Life Act does what? Does it A, prohibit federal funding for health centers that provide abortions? Or B, prohibit the killing of endangered species?
A.
It is A.
Thank
You're
you.
Right. That is, I will take a sip for that.
Softball for me. I appreciate it.
Start you off nice and easy. That's a bill that was introduced in Texas, won't you believe?
Shocker.
Two, what topic does the SWEET Act revolve around? Does it A, tax sodas? Or B, prevent sugar content from being listed on nutrition facts?
B.
Incorrect. It's actually a tax on sodas and other sugar-sweetened beverages.
That started in New York City, didn't it?
It's a big Democratic liberal thing. This particular bill came in 2015 from Connecticut. But yes,
I remember when it hit New York City.
It definitely was a huge deal. We couldn't have any giant sodas anymore at baseball games.
Yeah, they got rid of the supersized.
And I should tell you actually what it stands for. So it stands for the Sugar-Sweetened Beverages Tax Act. Sweet. And I don't think I told you what the first one, the pro-life one, was. So the Pro-Life Act stands for Protecting Life and Funding Education Act.
Perfect.
Question number three. What does the CHARGE Act do? Does it A, put caps on carbon emissions? Or B, change how electric vehicles get credits from the federal government?
B.
That is right. It does. The Charge Act is the Changing How America Reduces Greenhouse Emissions.
I like that one.
Yeah. So I will drink to that. All right, Jeff, so you're 2 for 3 right now. Question number 4 coming up. What does the Drones Act do? Does it A, require Congress to be informed of drone strikes? Or B, regulate the use of drones near airports?
B.
It's incorrect.
Oh.
It actually is an act that requires Congress to be informed of any executive action drone strikes.
I thought you were trying to trick me there. A seemed too easy.
The Drones Act stands for Designating Requirements on Notification of Executive Ordered Strikes Act. From all around stand-up guy, Rep. Daryl Issa from California.
Hey, buddy.
So, Jeff, you are now
50-50.
Yeah, 50-50.
On a 50-50 quiz.
Yep.
Perfectly average.
Here we go. Number 5. What topic does the Bridge Act revolve around? Is it about government agencies building connections between communities or a simple infrastructure bill?
A.
Incorrect. It actually is an infrastructure bill. And it stands for the Building and Renewing Infrastructure for Development and Growth and Employment Act from Senator Mark Warner of Virginia.
That was a good quiz.
I hope you enjoyed that and had a little fun with just how ridiculous our government gets. I guess this is their way of having fun by making these either extremely heavy-handed acronyms or just blatantly forced and shoehorned ones.
Right.
To just make it come out and say what they want it to say.
This is somebody's job, isn't it?
Yeah, it's probably an intern's job, honestly. Well, that was a good showing. Honestly, I did not know what most of those were when I was looking them up, so don't feel bad, Jeff.
I don't.
Let's move on to our next topic then, and that's going to be the Affordable Care Act, aka Obamacare, is back in court. So, we had mentioned this on a previous episode on Things to Keep an Eye On, and here we are. It's coming to fruition that the Texas versus United States court case, which is an effort to completely repeal Obamacare, went before a court this past Tuesday. And at stake here, we have the health insurance of about 20 million people who, if Republicans get their way, will lose their health insurance through this court case.
Yeah, the Economic Policy Institute came out. And they said roughly 29.8 million people would lose their insurance, including, and I think this is the point of this, many with pre-existing conditions that'll never get insured again. Also would cost us around 1.2 million jobs and lower healthcare spending by $135 million in 2019 alone. So this is far-reaching, not just the...
Those numbers alone should be reason to just leave this be and don't touch it. If you're someone that's under the age of 26 and covered under Obamacare, like from those provisions... under your parents' plan.
You're done.
That's gone.
Tomorrow, yep.
Right? Like all these people with pre-existing conditions can just be kicked off if your insurance company decides, you know what? We know you've been paying us for the last 20 plus years and paying your premiums and you haven't really gone for anything other than your primary care physician checkups. And we haven't really had to pay anything out of our pocket. But the second you get sick, like, well, you've reached your maximum. Let's get you off of here.
Yep.
They can do that again. Which right now they're forbidden to do under Obamacare.
And a lot of people that are in favor of this, and I've actually talked to some people that I know, kind of getting their feedback on why they think this should end. And most of them came back to me and said, well, because if I don't choose insurance, I have to pay a penalty, tax, and it's disinformation because it's not true anymore.
Right.
That ended in 2017. It costs you $0 now not to have insurance.
I'm glad you brought that up, Jeff, because that's actually the key part of this case. So when Obamacare originally passed, as Jeff just alluded to, there was a penalty, tax penalty, for people that chose to go uninsured. And a lot of people chose that route, especially young people who said, it's cheaper for me to pay this penalty than for me to pay for health insurance. I totally understand that. That makes sense. You're making a calculated decision. I can't say I support that decision, but I understand it.
Just before you go any further, I worked as an independent contractor from like 20 to say 28 to be reasonable. And basically, Obamacare wasn't in effect during that time, but I did the numbers. I saw what it would cost to insure myself. And I was like, let's hope I don't break my leg or come down with something.
You just went uninsured.
And I just took And a couple times I went to the hospital. I think I ended up spending about 10 grand over that time because I got sick. I had to go to the emergency room for whatever reason. Mm-hmm. But I get where those people were coming from. It was a calculated risk on my point. Hey, if I go 5 years without going to the emergency room, I'm netting ahead of if I'm paying for this, because it's expensive to insure yourself. Let's not Absolutely. Get it twisted.
Oh, so. Yeah. Yeah. I'm not denying that yeah. at all.
But now it costs you nothing.
Yeah. And the reason why it would cost you nothing is because that tax bill from 2017, the one that gave billions of dollars back to the richest Americans and richest corporations, one of the provisions in that bill that they snuck in was that they eliminated that tax mandate. Now, you might be wondering why that tax mandate was in there at all, and that's to help cover our sickest people in the country.
Correct.
And people with those pre-existing conditions need care. That's what that money would go to. It doesn't exist anymore. It has not been in effect ever since the tax bill. And now, because of that, it actually might undermine and take down the entire law. And the reason why is because Obamacare has been hit by a number of lawsuits over the years.
Right.
But the most famous one that made it to the Supreme Court upheld it. And Justice John Roberts, a conservative, made the case and joined with the lefter-leaning judges for a 5-4 decision to say that Obamacare can stand. And one of the reasons why he did say that was allowed to stand is because of this individual mandate, this tax mandate. Because Congress has the ability by the Constitution to impose taxes in essentially any way they want. So he said, this is a tax that Congress imposed, and if that's the basis, then yeah, like, the legal argument against this has no grounds, and, you know, I side with, at the time, the Obama administration.
And now it's coming back to bite us right in the ass, that decision.
Absolutely. Because now Republicans are arguing that without that tax penalty, since there's no tax, what's the legal standing the rest of the law has?
And they're basing this off of Trump's new tax bill from mm-hmm. 2017. It's bad right now. It doesn't look good. I saw some of the stuff with the arguments that were going on, and it seems like there's two Republican judges there, a Democratic judge. The two Republican judges had more questions about how to actually make this move forward mm-hmm. than why we were going after it. Which is scary, because it seemed like they were kind of positioning it to figure out how they would push this and make that decision. So,
a decision that is pro-Texas, you're saying?
Yeah.
And the pro-Texas position would be the one that would undermine and take down this law and remove, again, millions, tens of millions of people.
And more importantly is the deaths this will create. You're going to take people off being able to get their insulin, things they need to stay alive, not be able to afford any of this stuff. We talked about pre-existing conditions. And again, we come back to this a lot. Cruelty is the point.
Seems to be a theme with this administration.
Yeah, the estimate number of deaths per year based on this is very vague, but it's 28,000 to 100,000 people a year.
And that's from the Economic Policy Institute?
Yep. So let's say
28,000.
Let's say 20,000.
Yeah, that, I mean, even, man.
How many did 9/11 kill?
3,000.
3,000 people. Yeah. You know, so if you boil it down to that, this is the most inhumane thing. I mean, this is the most disturbing thing. We were kind of talking before we recorded. If you're trying to push this through right now, you're happy that Epstein stuff's in the news, all the other stuff that's just kind of overshadowing this. This is the most important thing going on in our country right now. It's not close. This could affect the most people in a negative way. And I don't see the positive of it.
It's just going to be another talking point for Republicans that have campaigned on taking down Obamacare. Say, see, we did it. Except statistically, red states are the biggest recipients of Obamacare.
People love to vote against their own self-interest.
It's fascinating to me.
Can I ask you a quick question?
Democrats need to do a better job of messaging about this. I know healthcare has been, and it was in 2018 in the midterms, and I haven't seen a recent poll on it, but I assume healthcare is still way up there in the list of priorities for the average American.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want this to get repealed right now to help us in 2020, but if this goes down today, people are going to start feeling this immediately, and that should be our only, like, not our only message and talking point, but we better stay on that.
Yeah.
From now to then. I mean, God forbid that, because there are going to be people that will never get their insurance back.
Yeah, if this people are going to get hurt, and I'm not willing to let, you know, millions of people lose their insurance.
No,
just
we need
to
fight
political
for this
victory.
Now. Yeah.
No, absolutely not.
Fight today. Quick question for you though. When they started trying to get rid of this, the big thing was repeal and replace, right? Mm-hmm. That was kind of Trump's talking point. What exactly are they replacing this with if it goes down?
Oh, nothing.
Oh.
They have never proposed a plan that can replace this because the Republican Party can't agree on one.
But didn't he say he had something coming shortly?
Oh, probably in like 2 weeks, right?
Oh, okay.
Yeah, we're going to have one shortly. So, yeah, that's Donald Trump's go-to is that we're going to have something shortly. Let's remember that he campaigned on repeal and replace back in 2016. He also controlled, or Republicans controlled, all three major facets of government, the House, the Senate, the executive branch, for 2 years. So if they had a plan, they could have implemented it easily and gotten something passed. But they couldn't because of all the infighting among Republicans about what that replacement would look like. So they can't even get their shit together enough for that. And they've had years and years since Obamacare was passed to think this through.
This may sound super ignorant, but if a Republican-controlled Congress presidency can't bring this down, but Texas can, I mean, something's a little broken here, just on top. If they couldn't figure out a better way for us to move forward. So basically what you're saying is if this happens, we just revert back to pre-Obamacare immediately.
Yeah.
Okay. That's terrifying.
It's scary as hell. And I'm not someone that is currently on Obamacare. I do have insurance through my employer.
So me also, to be fair, to be transparent.
I'm super lucky in that regard, but it does affect those people with private insurance as well, because again, it's going to remove protections for us. If you and I, God forbid, got sick tomorrow and say we had cancer or something, some long-term disease that's going to require treatment over a while and multiple doctor visits and lots of different drugs you're going to be taking. At a certain point, those insurance companies, if we get rid of this law, have the ability to say, Kevin, you've cost us too much money.
You maxed
out. Fuck you, you're out.
I mean, even personally, my wife just had a baby, second one. That's a pre-existing condition prior to this.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So they could pull her coverage.
Yeah.
If she somehow got off insurance for
a
while.
How dare you get pregnant, right?
Yeah, like, no, it's pre-existing.
I can't believe
she already had
stance.
A condition. Nothing good comes of this. I haven't seen one fight for why this helps other than saving some billionaire insurance companies billions of dollars.
Exactly. That's all it is. It's money for insurance companies. And it's, again, a talking point for Republicans and people that hated Obama. And since his name is tied to it, they want to just automatically go against it.
If this happens, we have to win 2020 because somebody's got to start pushing in this free healthcare to undo all of this. This is, and to talk about that again, most likely, from what I've read, this ends up in front of the Supreme Court during the 2020 elections.
It should be very interesting because I don't know really what Republicans are doing with this case because
this does not help them at all.
No. And it didn't help him in 2018 when some Republicans were still campaigning on repealing Obamacare. It certainly won't help them in 2020. You can't screw around with people's health care.
So what's our best hope here? They say fine.
This case fails.
Well, they repeal it. And it gets thrown up to the Supreme Court.
It'll go to
the Supreme
Court.
Gets held up into the 2020 elections. Now, during that time, would people lose their coverage?
That's a good... It would actually be up to the court.
Just depends. Okay.
Yeah. Depends on what the decision is. They could say that we'll allow this to continue while we debate, or they could say today's, you know, or set a date.
Then we get to the Supreme Court where we've put Kavanaugh and...
And Gorsuch.
Yep,
yeah.
Awesome. And Roberts is going to have to make another decision.
Yeah. So those are two major depressing topics of the week. So let's just move into some lighthearted hypocrisy then to bring us to the end.
That should be the name of this.
Lighthearted hypocrisy.
Instead of
I like
fake
that.
News.
Yeah. Lighthearted hypocrisy of the week. So this is going to surround the billionaire co-founder of Home Depot, Bernie Marcus, has come out as a Trump supporter, said that he supports Trump, and he will be helping Trump get reelected in 2020. So obviously, Democrats are calling for a boycott on Home Depot. Whether or not you agree with this, I don't care. But Donald Trump, as always, had to weigh in. And Donald Trump tweeted out in response to this, quote, "More and more, the radical left is using commerce to hurt their enemy. They put out the name of a store, brand, or company and ask their so-called followers not to do business there. They don't care who gets hurt, but also don't understand that two can play that game." End of tweet.
He understands. This is the only game he plays.
I thought this was pretty fucking rich coming from him because he's made his career and presidency over calling for boycotts on anyone that disagrees with him.
This could literally replace the definition of hypocrisy.
Just throw these tweets in the
period. Yeah. Like, this is of the highest standard.
Like, just going through some of his most recent ones. Like, he wanted to boycott CNN. He wanted to boycott Harley Davidson. He wanted to boycott Apple.
New York Times.
New York Times. Yeah, that's a frequent punching bag. He wanted to boycott the Megyn Kelly show. Yeah.
Single show.
Yep. Yeah, exactly. He wanted to boycott Macy's. because Macy's pulled his like his tie line that was
his daughter's.
Made in China.
His daughter's.
Oh, that was it. Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
So the man that's apparently so offended by people exercising freedom of speech to boycott whatever products they want has historically done this himself in his capacity as president, which I think is wholly inappropriate. He remember just recently he was threatening telling people to boycott AT&T because he didn't like the merger because they own CNN.
Yeah, and even nastier, he's gone after small businesses.
Mm-hmm.
Remember the way that they've treated some of the Republicans at restaurants, that kind of stuff?
Yeah.
Not wanting to serve them or being mean to them. Like, he can literally end a small business tomorrow. Macy's probably be okay. This is disgusting for him to say.
Yeah, that's such an abuse of power for him to even get involved in this. Like, that alone should be a crime, but here we are.
And at the same time, we shouldn't be doing that either. I mean,
I disagree.
Well, it's one thing from, again, this isn't, again, you're right. This isn't coming from Obama didn't do this, right? We're not coming from a president that said, F Home Depot.
That's my only issue with
it. We can do it.
Yes.
Right.
Consumers are
free to shop. The radical left can go nuts and talk about it all they want. It just can't come from the person with the highest power.
Yeah. My only issue with this is that the president of the United States inserted himself into this conversation because he has no business, especially when it's an American company. He's talking shit about it and hurting their bottom line. And his words do have an effect. It's
jobs.
Crashed stocks on the stock market whenever he tweets a negative thing about an American company. The guy that's so pro-America wants to make America great again and now keep America great.
I have to tell you something.
Shit-talking American companies, which hurts American workers.
I have to let you know something.
What's wrong,
this
man?
Might be new. He's not super pro-America.
Wait, what? But his slogan.
Yeah.
But
I know this is breaking news, but...
Wait. But make America great again, he said.
Yeah. No, only if it benefits him.
But I thought he fixed it because now it's keep America great.
Ooh, that's the new one for 2020?
I've heard that a lot. I'm not sure if that's official yet, but I've been hearing
that
bounce around.
I guess that makes sense. I'll give his marketing team some credit for that slogan. I don't hate it.
It's just CAG.
MAGA was much better.
Right, exactly.
You're really onto something.
Yeah, so I have no problem with consumers exercising their rights to shop wherever the fuck you please. You don't like Home Depot's politics or their CEO's politics?
Go to Lowe's.
Go shop at Lowe's. Yeah. You don't like them? Go shop your mom and pop store if you still have one.
Hey, and more importantly, go shop your mom and pop store.
Yeah, kind of nice too, right?
I wonder, has he ever gone after hotel chains?
Not to my knowledge.
That'd be so interesting.
Would be interesting to see.
I wonder.
Yeah. So just to wrap this up, again, if you don't like something, you're free to boycott a brand. I don't care. Actually, while we have a couple minutes.
Okay.
It's not on our script, but let's do it.
Let's go.
What are your thoughts on the Nike Betsy Ross flag? We might be a week and a half late by the time this episode drops, but what are your thoughts, Jeff?
It's fine. You know, it comes down to this. They hired Colin Kaepernick for a reason, mm-hmm. and this was the reason. Everybody's freaking out that now he has say in Nike. Why can he do this? This is exactly why they gave him money. They didn't pay him money because he's going to go play on Sundays and advertise for them. They didn't give him money for anything else other than coming in to help them with these situations. I haven't read the contract, obviously, but that's what I take from what they brought him in for. And it's super smart. Like, you can't, if you dig down into that flag, it's been used by white supremacists. It's been used by hate groups as a kind of a symbol, a rallying cry. And a company like Nike is very corporate. And it goes back to when Jordan says Republicans buy shoes too. Nike's actually gone a little more left and tried to be more socially aware. I'm glad they did it. You know, a lot of times in these bigger companies like that, someone's going to put out a design idea. It's probably going to get floated up a little quicker than they wanted. Maybe they push it through. They were trying to do this as a special holiday edition. Mm-hmm. I can see how it got through. I don't blame Nike for that. I give them a lot of credit for the heat that they took dropping off of it.
Yeah, so this will be one of these rare times where I disagree with you.
Okay.
I think this is too far.
Okay.
And normally I'm all for being, you know, woke as fuck. But look, I dive into the bowels of the internet on a regular basis. I check out the 4chans and the Donald subreddits to see what's going on. And I'm well aware that there are white supremacist groups that have tried to co-opt the original 13 star in a circle Betsy Ross flag as a symbol of their own. But I don't think that's well known unless you're in one of those far right extremist groups.
Yep.
Or someone like me that likes to keep an eye on what's going on in those worlds. I don't think the general populace understands that they've tried to co-opt that symbol. So to me, and based on the backlash, a lot of regular consumers, it just seems like this was one of those incidents of political correctness for the sake of being politically correct and just erring on the side of that. And I think, honestly, it went a little too far.
I get your point completely. Let me ask this to you.
Sure.
Say you own a multi-billion-dollar company and you hire me for a specific reason. You pay me millions of dollars and you're like, look.
So let's call me, just for the sake of this hypothetical argument, we'll call my company, my hypothetical company, Nike.
Yeah.
And since you like to go by pseudonyms, we'll call you Colin.
Okay. And you hire me for a specific reason. You pay me millions of dollars to say, hey, our brand, what we want to go for is on the right side of things. And we have thousands and thousands.
Or the left side, as the case may be.
Yeah. We have thousands of design ideas. We've got incredible people doing incredible jobs. And I say, hey, man, look, you hired me. This one, we've got 50 other ways we can go with this shoe. This might not be the best way. And you say, I have a billion-dollar company. I hired you for this reason. You're right. Maybe that's not the best way we should go. I don't think there should be backlash on that. Companies make a decision based on where they want their brand to look. I don't think it should be outrage against Nike either way. Mm-hmm. I see exactly what you're saying, but you're putting me in position to help you make those decisions to better your brand.
But the thing is, I don't think he's just a spokesman. He's not.
I don't think he was. He's had one commercial. He's not a spokesman. He's somebody that's there to help.
He got an endorsement deal.
To navigate these waters, I think. And again,
I agree with you that as like, I understand Nike's decision making in this. I get
100,000%.
You're a multi-billion dollar company.
Why even fuck with this?
Yeah. And that might be the bigger thing. Like,
why?
Don't step into those waters. Don't even bother doing
that. I kind of wish they would have, because I would like to see the smaller hate groups that have tried to take this as their own figure out if they're boycotting Nike or they're wearing these. And the funny thing is, now the same people that boycotted them 2 years ago are now re-boycotting them, which I don't know exactly how you do that.
I don't understand that either. But what I don't like about it is adding validity to those kind of groups. Because by pulling that shoe, I think you're saying, yes, this is now a symbol of these racist pieces of shit.
Well, let me ask you what happens. Groups. You own Nike. Mm-hmm. And now these smaller companies, which... or groups, not companies, sorry, groups that, you're right, not everyday people know exactly who they are or why they're using this, right? Say they all really push and they're like, look, see, and they're wearing them and they're using it for that purpose during their Proud Boy marches that we just saw, all of these things. Like, is that what you want your company to be behind? Because you hire you hire researchers to know the smallest groups of people that are using your brand for the wrong reason, right? You need to know about it. Mm-hmm. So are you willing to tread that line? Like, isn't it easier to take the hit for a week?
I understand the argument from a corporate perspective of why they would pull it, because any hint of controversy, they don't care about. Or sometimes manufactured controversy is good for them.
And, yeah, they're on the news.
Right. And like, either way, Nike stock shot up after this. So they know what they're doing. It's a calculated move. They have lawyers and they've got accountants that weigh the pros and cons of the move. And they make estimates on who's going to boycott us for this and who's not, and vice versa. And like, I understand it's a very calculated move. They don't just do anything out of the kindness of their hearts or on gut instinct.
Right.
It's always calculated.
The stock thing, I don't think doesn't matter. I think it's the way you want your company to be seen. And Nike decided, listen, we don't want to be affiliated with that. We're against that. That's why we have Kaepernick here. And if he advised them or he's just a spokesman, whatever, I have no problem with their decision. It's their company.
So we'll agree to disagree on all that.
Heated debate. Yeah. Nice.
So that brings us to the end of our episodes. And we're going to go through our rapid fire list of things to keep an eye on. And let's just start it off with the happiest story of this entire pod.
Yeah.
And that is that the U.S. women's soccer team are World Cup champions.
Rapinoe
again is queen. She did her job, penalty kicks as she always does. She was fantastic. The whole team was phenomenal. Really, the only time that I was worried was really the end of that first half, where the Netherlands put a little sustained pressure on. But outside of that, the U.S. did what they had to, and they won. It's amazing. Again, these women should be paid just as much as the men.
Well, before we get to the next thing, I want to ask you and producer Yags a question. You guys have both watched sports for a long time. You know, Trump obviously came out against Rapinoe and said, hey, win something before you say you're not coming to the White House.
He gave her the put up or shut up, and she put up.
Has there been a more pressurized penalty kick than she had in that instance? Because if somehow she misses that penalty kick and they lose, I think a certain someone in the White House might have some tweets about playing under pressure or whatever he would have come up with. Wow. For her to make that kick was huge.
Certainly not any pressure from the leader of your own country.
It's crazy.
Yeah, but the best thing about Rapinoe is she acts like she's above all that and doesn't even care. She probably never even thought about him when she stepped up to take that kick.
I love it.
And she's the new symbol of our country. Move over Statue of Liberty. Her with her arms out, basically saying, fuck it, I got it, is great.
And on the topic of equal pay that we were just hinting at there, so Joe Manchin of West Virginia is introducing a bill that prevents the federal funding of the 2026 World Cup, which should be hosted in the United States, until the United States agrees to pay equal to both the men and women's soccer teams. That's Joe Manchin in a red state that I'm very proud of him.
This is the first time I think we were ever going to compliment him. Hopefully not the last. But good job, Joe.
Going to keep running down the line of news stories here. Over in Kentucky, we have Amy McGrath, who you might remember had a failed congressional bid in 2018. But she is now running for Mitch McConnell's Senate seat. And frankly, I think she's got a better shot at a Senate seat than she did in the congressional one. I think she's a lot more popular statewide than in just a small district.
And she smartly came out and people were asking her, hey, there's still time for you to get in the presidential election. And she was like, nope,
no,
I want that seat.
Yes. And that is the most important seat up in the entire Senate. Might actually be the most important election of 2020, more so than the presidential one.
And you can tell because Trump already came out and attacked her.
Yeah.
He said, hey, Kentucky, you really want to give the most important seat to somebody with no experience? So you know that's on his radar, and it was on his radar quick.
Yeah. Let's ditch Mitch, get him out of there.
Ditch Mitch.
Yeah.
Is that her slogan?
I don't know. It should be. Hire me, Amy.
We might have a new job.
On the Democratic side of things in the presidential race, Eric Swalwell has dropped out of the race, and rightfully so. He was polling low. He had a very poor performance in the last round debates. He's instead going to seek re-election in the House. Good for you, Eric. That's better for the country. It's just the smart move. So that's a positive.
Yeah, we just need about 8 more now.
We can narrow that field down a little bit more before the next round of debates. We'll be in better shape. This is brought to my attention by my good buddy Jeff across the table that immigration judge Agnellis Reese has presided over 200 hearings in the last 5 years in immigration and has rejected every single case that has come across their desk.
She has not approved one. Over 200. Not
mind one. Blowing. These are the kind of people we have in charge of immigration.
Right. Judges now. Matter.
They do. Yeah. And again, one of the very key things of the Trump presidency has been they've been able to force through federal judges at an astonishing rate. Just something else to keep an eye on and understand the importance of the judges in our system. Well, speaking of judges, a appeals court found that Donald Trump violated the First Amendment by blocking Twitter users from seeing his tweets. Because he uses his Twitter account in his official capacity as president, it is a freedom of speech issue. Frankly, it's hysterical because he's going to have to unblock all these people that got so under his skin. While you're, imagine being the president of the United States and having a random Twitter user burn you so badly that you feel the need to block them because you just can't look at their tweets anymore.
What's even worse about that is that we know now that he was reading random Twitter user comments.
Right. Who's reading the comments? That's like the first rule of the internet is like, don't read the comments.
So. Comment about us, though,
yeah,
much as you want.
Yes, please. I'll read them,
hate
I guess.
And
maybe.
Nice enough, whatever you want.
And finally, we've got a round of subpoenas coming out of the House. 37 new subpoenas have been issued to Trump enterprises, including the Trump Organization, and information related to government payouts to Trump properties. So the democratically led House isn't fucking around anymore. Subpoenas have been issued. Whether or not they comply with them and these have teeth, remains to be seen, but definitely worth keeping an eye on.
No teeth so far. We haven't seen any fines or jails, so we'll see if this really means something.
So that brings us to the end of our episode. Thank you so much for joining us. If you want to follow us on social media, you can do so on Twitter and Instagram at our handle drinking_libpod, or check out our website at www.drinkingliberallypod.com. That's where we'll post our footnotes, and we're excited for this episode. And of course, rate and review us on iTunes if you haven't already. It goes a long way to helping us get in front of new listeners. So we truly appreciate everyone that's already done so. Thanks for joining us, everybody. We'll talk to you next week. Cheers.